Hello, my name is Christina Morales.
Hi, Christina. So tell me about your new record, you and your band, The Bayou Shufflers, have an album out called Louisiana Fairy Tale.
Ooh, okay. Well, we recorded this last August, and to fund the record, we used the Kickstarter campaign, and that was a lot of fun because we got to really connect with our fans for the CD. I was kind of hesitant to even do a traditional jazz album in the first place because, there's just, it just feels like every single musician in the city has like a traditional jazz band side project or just everywhere you go, you walk down Frenchman Street and you hear the same song about 20 times. So I didn't know if I wanted to put my name on something like that when I felt other people were doing it so much better. So when we finally had like a set sound and kind of a bunch of songs that we really, really felt like passionate about, we decided to finally put it on record. And it had been requested of us for like years by fans and actually by my bandmates. They had been pressuring me too as well. So there's a lot of pressure to come out with an album like this because my first album was completely different. We just pretty much used a lot of songs that kind of related to us at the time that we just enjoyed playing. And actually, there's just a couple new ones that I brought on just for the album because I didn't want it to be completely just swing. So we have songs like Pagan Love Song that actually comes from like an old 1929 movie about Hawaii and love. And another one called Jezebel, which was a big like flamenco tune that Edith Piaf sang in the 1950s. So it's not completely traditional jazz. I brought another song like Cuban Love Song onto the mix because I'm Puerto Rican and I just wanted to always make sure that I brought my roots into whatever I'm gonna give out to the world and make sure my stamp's on it.
So the title cut on here is kind of a favorite song of mine and one that people don't seem to play a whole lot. It's a Fats Waller song from 1935, I think.
I remember I was at Russell Welch's house. He plays with Mishia Lake with Nathan Lambertson, the bass player, and this guitarist who was in town before, Alessandro, and we were just kind of, they were all just jamming out. And we were just one of those nights where, it was a beautiful Louisiana night, and they called that song, and he was like, do you want to sing it? And I was like, let me put up my iPhone and see if I can get the lyrics, because I knew it. I don't know why I knew it. It's just one of those songs that I had grown up with, I guess. And so I pulled out my lyrics from my iPhone, and I started singing it, and I just fell in love with it because it was just one of those nights where it was like, this is so right on. Like, these lyrics are like, it's so what I love about Louisiana. Growing up here, born and raised in New Orleans, there was times, especially in high school, where I was so ready to see the real world, I felt, and like, I went to Boston Conservatory for my undergrad, and I was just so ready to like get to the Northeast and be part of those players, and every time I'd come home, I would like completely fall in love with the city again. And so that song, since I was going to do an album kind of based on New Orleans music and culture, I felt like that had to be the setting up process for the rest of the CD, because just the lyrics and the sound of it, it's just totally what's magical about New Orleans and magical about Louisiana. Every time you're just outside and having a, mint julep and falling in love with some crazy stranger, that's just totally the magic of this whole state.
So what's your background with traditional jazz? You're from here in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in New Orleans. So this was just something that I think if you're born and raised here, you're just used to hearing at every type of celebration. And I grew up in the French Quarter with my family had a restaurant on Toulouse and Decatur. One of those kids that the dishwasher who was like a transvestite was my nanny, and like, I just feel like, this singing this type of music is, it's just, I love the rawness of it because it really the times that, like, the 1920s and 1930s life was so hard. And I think it relates, I think there's a whole blow up of this music right now because we're going through economically some hardship too. And there's a lot of you know, confusion in the world. So I think that's why this music has come back, and that's why I've kind of re-related to it from my childhood, is just growing up with it and kind of realizing the similarities from then to now, and making it my own artistic expression of how I'm dealing with that, I guess.
Yeah. Did you always think you were going to play this kind of music?
No, it was definitely not. My degree is in musical theater. And, you know, we did study, like, you know, a lot of musical theater and jazz, we use the same type of music. There's a lot of same standards that came out of the shows, and both art forms are American art forms purely, you know. So, but they both, you know, grew off, you know, split off in different directions. So, in some ways, you know, it was kind of surprising for me to come home and I was like, wow, all of a sudden I'm singing jazz. I always went on the Friday classes at NOCA. I went to NOCA as well to see the jazz performers play on their their performance classes on Friday. And I was always really interested in it, but for some reason I never connected myself with doing it until I did. And then I realized, oh my God, it wasn't like a wave came over me. I was like, what have I been doing for the past 8 years? I should have been doing this. It makes me so much happier. And I had always been, you know, following it. So no, it wasn't the plan at all.
So when did you make the decision to move back here and start pursuing a musical career here in New Orleans?
I came right after I graduated. That was 2009. And at the time, that was like a really hard hit in the Northeast for, well, especially for musical theater, but for the economy. And so I just personally wasn't ready to make any, like, giant commitments to go up, and when there had been, like, six shows that had closed on Broadway. And so it was kind of a very confusing time for us because, we were all trying to, as graduates, we were all trying to find, okay, we just spent 4 years, some of us 8 years, learning how to be an artist. And realizing that some of us, that, you know, musical theater wasn't the way we wanted to be an artist, you know. So when I came back home, I was dating Nathan Lambertson, and he was playing around town and playing with vocalists, and I was trying to do shows here, theater shows, but it wasn't happening. So I kept on watching him, and I kept on, you know, getting, curious about what it'd be like to go up on stage and sing with him and the rest of the band. And at first I thought, oh, this is gonna be so easy. I'm just singing a song. I'm not dancing or acting on top of it. And then I get up there and I am just like completely like humiliated because I just don't know what I'm doing. It's a totally different art form. And so yeah, for me this whole process has been learning on stage in front of people with the musicians being my mentors and my teachers, and it's just, yeah, it's been really exciting because to learn on the spot like that, and that's how a lot of the old, I mean, that's how, before there was jazz in college, that's how people learned, you know, and there's something so special about being in the moment and learning a live art the way it was meant to be learned. You know, kind of with that pressure of people watching you. And, you know, when you're in school, you're learning all the technicalities and stuff like that. But when you're learning on the bandstand, you have to be aware of why it's an art, you know, and why you are singing these songs and why the band is interpreting these things in the moment, because you're not just playing a song for yourselves and we're all in our own little world. We're playing for an audience and we're trying to reflect an idea. And so, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
So how did you go about putting the Bayou Shufflers group together? Was it consciously assembled or did it sort of come together piece by piece as New Orleans groups seem to?
Yeah, it came together piece by piece. I mean, my gig at the Spotted Cat started 2.5, 3 years ago, it must be 3 years coming up in this October. And, you know, at first we had the first three people who originally were in the band were Michael, me, and Nathan. And we had a different guitar player. We had a different drummer. We didn't even have another horn player at the time. And so then it was Greg that came in and did a gig with us. And we all looked at each other and were like, this guy has to stay. Like, we have to call him for another gig. And then we needed a drummer. And so Simon Lott had come onto our radar somehow, and he agreed to do the gig. And we were all like, what? Simon's going to do the gig with us? It was kind of like, I can't believe we got Simon Lott on our gig. And then we got Matt in there and Kevin Lewis. And each time it was just one of those realizations, like, man, this every time it just steps up the music and it keeps, you know, the fun thing about finding the right people to play with is people who keep you on your toes, you know, and make you want to keep going with the rest of the gig. Cause you know, we're playing the same songs over and over for the next zillion years. and you want people who are going to every time, like, make you go, oh shit, like, what did you just say? Let me try to get on that, you know? So it's hard to say when the first gig, but I guess 3 years ago is when this little project started.
Yeah. And the Spotted Cat is your main venue, right?
Yeah, we play the Spotted Cat is our main place, our main home. But we play at Three Muses and Bacchanal and Melange, and we do lots of private parties. And let's see, where else? I feel like we just, anywhere we can get in. You know, we just did the Maison. We're just all over Frenchmen. And, you know, our goal right now is to try to get out of the city and kind of share our sound with the rest of the world.
What do you like about the Spotted Cat as a performance space?
Ah, my goodness. Spotted Cat is crazy every time we play there. And for a while we were playing there, it was a lining that we would play like Sunday and Monday, because our gigs are every first and third Sunday and Monday, but now they've switched it. So it's every first Sunday and every first Sunday, and then every second and fourth Monday. So they're alternating. Yeah, I can't even say it. But for a while we were just playing back-to-back, like Sundays and Mondays, and it was like, Sundays would be crazy. There's something about that place where you don't realize how much alcohol you've had first. Second off, just the energy of where the band is positioned, something like, I don't know, some cosmic thing. Just it just really feels magical with, and the type of people that it draws in too. They're really ready to like party and listen with you and like really react to the music. And you know, I've played at other venues on the street, and not to say that I don't love them. Every club on the street has such a great, unique thing about it. But the Spotted Cat really has this feeling of otherworldliness. Personally, that's how I feel. I don't know if anyone else feels that way. But every time I go in there to see a show or I'm performing in the show, the next morning I wake up and I'm always like, what just happened? How did I get back to bed? You know, like, how did I get here? You know, like, it always feels like a dream there. Maybe it's the lighting. I have no clue. But I mean, that we have a blast there. We hope they keep us forever and ever and ever.
And so you mentioned that you and the group are trying to plan a sort of a Southern tour for later in the year, right?
Yeah, I want to do a little Southern tour, Dirty South tour, is what I like to call it. We're going to be hitting up Mississippi and Alabama and hopefully coming around to Florida and then coming back home. Just a really short little mini tour. It'll be my first time touring. These guys are all great veterans of it, but it'll be my first time. So I'm really excited about just getting out there and, you know, seeing how different audiences react to our music, because in New Orleans we're so lucky. We have locals who are fanatics of this music, you know, and our own little New Orleans characters. But when you play for a different culture, even if it's just Alabama or, you know, it's different people. They react differently. They're not used to the sounds. So I'm really just excited to push some people's buttons.
So did you guys play many of the festivals? Were you out at any of the big festivals this year?
We did not. That's what we're. If you're listening, let us in on your festival. That's what we want to. That's what we want to do too. We haven't gotten any big festivals yet, but that's what we're hoping for. As much as we can just like keep sharing our music in any type of setting that we can do that, that's what we're looking at. We just really feel like we have something really special.
Well, the album's called Louisiana Fairy Tale, Christina Morales and the Bayou Shufflers. Thank you, Christina, for talking with me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.